So this morning we're going to be looking at a passage that I'm sure is familiar to most. It's kind of one of those things where I kind of got turned on to studying this week as I was doing my ever so holy Facebook time, where I, you know, dedicate that time of my week to seeing what's going on in the world. I'm being sarcastic, but we were, as I was reading, I couldn't help but notice there was a post this week. I can't remember for the life of me who posted it, but it was this passage in 1 Chronicles 4, chapter 10. It's a passage that we're all very familiar with. It's a passage that, and if we're not familiar, I'm sure you've heard it to some extent. Growing up, my father being a teacher at a Bible school, he actually had this on his wall. My grandmother used to love doing cross stitch, and she made this for him, and he had it framed on his wall, and I never really understood it. I never really looked into it all that much. And then this week, as I was kind of digging deeper, I found myself just, as I like to say, completely nerding out at how cool God is and how cool he presents the truths of his word and how we can learn from those in scripture. So I'd ask if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and I'll just read verses 9 and 10. And it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. I think this is such an interesting passage, and I wasn't even planning this, but this is so timely having the Dirks here. I think this is a passage that really goes alongside what you guys have been seeking to do, and that is to continue to bring honor and glory to the name of God. And I think this is such an interesting passage that we can kind of pick apart and look at this morning, and maybe kind of see it in kind of a new view. A lot of us may have seen this prayer on cards or bookmarks or see it all over the place, but this morning I want us to kind of look at it within the passage and see what we can learn from it. So first thing, I just want to take a little bit of time before we talk about the prayer. I think it's helpful if we know a little bit about who it was who prayed that prayer. So I kind of want us to ask ourselves this morning, who is Jabez? And we're going to see that in verse 9. And really, verse 9 is the only real account we have of this individual. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see what we can pull here. If we read verse 9 again, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. So now, as we look at who he was, we'll head over to that next slide, Josh. Thank you. You know, little is known. Obviously, we have this one verse in Scripture that tells us about who Jabez is. And for those of us who just kind of read through, I'm sure not a whole lot of you are doing your devotions in Chronicles. If I tried to take the time to read the verses before verse 9 and 10 and the verses after, we would be here for hours, me trying to pronounce all of these names. And the book of Chronicles was set up in order to really show the lineages and the genealogies of the children of Israel. And something that I'm sure many of you will know is, as you study Jewish culture and as you study especially the Old Testament, this idea of family heritage is so focal, and it is so important to the Jewish faith. And as we know, the Israel being God's chosen people in the Old Testament, and then continuing on in his blessings in the New, it is so interesting to understand that even though we may not know how to pronounce these names, even though it may not necessarily be of significance to us, there's something really deeper being told when we read through these passages. So I was doing a little bit of research this week and trying to figure out, you know, who really was this Jabez, because he seems to just kind of pop up out of nowhere in verse 9, and then when verse 10 is over, he pops out and we don't hear from him again. But apparently his relationship with God was pretty significant, as we can see as we read these verses. So in doing some of the studying and looking around at who Jabez was according to Jewish tradition, what we do know from this passage, from chapter 4, is the fact that he was of the line of Judah. He was a descendant of Judah, one of the 12 sons of Israel, and we know that because as we're reading through this chapter 4, it starts with listing off the sons of Judah. That's how we know that. It doesn't say that in verse 9 and 10, but we know because of where Jabez shows up in the genealogy of whose family he's a part of. And although his specific parentage is not given, we do know that he was given his name by his mother. Jabez, in the original Hebrew, translates almost literally to grieve. And that's what his name means. His name literally means grief. And we see this a little bit in why his mother named him. She says, because I bore him in pain. Now names have a very, very significant meaning in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Nowadays, I kind of feel like sometimes when you see what people are naming their kids, I wonder where they're pulling that from. But you know, back then there was a major, major significance. So if your mother names you grief or to grieve, that kind of almost kind of puts a bit of an omen on you for the rest of your life. And I have no doubt in my mind that Jabez kind of wrestled. You know, my mom literally named me good grief. Like, my mother named me, like, after the fact that I caused her so much pain in birth, that's what she decided to name me. I am so thankful my mother just named me Colin, to be honest. I'm sure she could have come up with something a lot worse. But when we look at that, that really does kind of set the tone for Jabez's life. And we actually see that influencing how he prays later on. Some scholars suggest that because of where we see his kind of showing up in the line of Judah here, there's a lot of suggestion that he lived at some point between the book of Joshua and the book of Judges. So somewhere in that time frame of when the Israelites came into Canaan to the point where Joshua was gone and it was the time of the judges, at some point in that timeline, I can't give you an exact date because, again, we're not told much in Scripture, but to kind of give you guys a bit of a time frame, this is when he was living, was some point between Joshua and the book of Judges. And this school of thought, because of this, placing him in this time, suggests, and again, this is not necessarily 100% accurate. This is what Jewish scholars and biblical Christian scholars alike have kind of put together, is that there's a very large possibility that this prayer that we see Jabez praying, he likely prayed this at some point as his family was entering a location that was heavily occupied by Canaanites. So when we see him coming into this place and he's asking for this blessing of God, is because he is entering a place where seemingly the entire population would be against him and against his family. So if your name means grief and you're entering into a location where the entire population is set against who you are, set against what you believe, I'd be praying for some blessings too. And so when we think about that, again, I just kind of want to set a bit of a context up for who Jabez was. Jewish tradition also states that Jabez was likely a very, very close student of the Mosaic Law. He studied the Scriptures. He knew the Scriptures. We know from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus that it was very important that the children of Israel memorize God's word. And it seems that according to tradition, Jabez was one of the many who really went above and beyond. And there's actually a chance that he may very well have been a scribe. And that is kind of what is seen in Jewish tradition. As we come past the Chronicles, we see that possibly is what his occupation may have been later on in life. The only other thing we know about Jabez in all of Scripture is actually mentioned before chapter 4 in Chronicles 2:55. As you're reading the book of Chronicles, each chapter is its own timeline. And sometimes these things are a little bit out of place because as we're reading through the first three chapters, in chapter 3 we talk about the descendants of David, but then in chapter 4 we talk about the descendants of Judah, but in chapter 1 we're talking about the descendants of Abraham. So there's a bit of some timeline mangling there, but I shouldn't say mangling, a bit of a timeline difference. But in chapter 2 we read in verse 55 that there was actually a city called Jabez. And again, Jewish tradition just implies that this city was actually named in honor of who Jabez was. And again, if there's a city named after you, you must have done something significant. And the significance here, obviously, we see in verse 9. It says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, this would probably be easy if you only had one, maybe two brothers, but in this case, you know, he comes from a very large family, as we can see, and he stood above and beyond the descendants of Judah living in his time. And I think that's something to be noted. So while all of this is really based on stuff outside of Scripture, what we can tell specifically from Scripture is that Jabez stood out of the crowd because of his relationship with God. And I think that really heavily influences how we can look at this prayer, knowing a little bit about who he was. So I just want to take some time and just talk about laying out what was it that Jabez prayed. I just want to look at that really quick. And we see that in verse 10. Verse 10 points out, Jabez called to the God, or called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from harm, and that it might not bring me pain." And I love this. And God granted what he asked. So one thing that I really want to point out really quick, and something that I think we should notice before we even jump into what the prayer consisted of, is this idea that it says, and Jabez called upon, or in some translations, and a little bit more faithful to the original Hebrew, it says he cried out to the God of Israel. And this indicates two very important things, and it really shows a lot about Jabez's character. One, it shows that he was humble before God. When we think of this idea as he cried out, he fell on his knees and he pointed himself to God and he said, "God, I need you." And not only was he humble, but he clearly recognized God's authority. We just got done singing, "Lord, there is none like you." And we just got done hearing this passage where it says, these other gods have eyes that can't see, ears that cannot hear, mouths that cannot speak, but our God is powerful. And I think that is so important. And Jabez clearly understood that in his time. And that really helps us to understand exactly what he means when he's praying. So there's four main requests that Jabez makes. And I just kind of split these into four parts. And the first thing he says is, "Bless me." And here's the thing, is he was seeking God's provision in his life. You know, Jabez was not seeking an earthly blessing. Often when we ask for a blessing from God, or often when we seek blessings, we often associate that with, "God, I want you to somehow encourage me with either something that somebody else is saying, something that somebody is giving to me, but God, I need something a little extra." When we think of this idea of blessing, we think of this idea of extra. We think of this idea of, "God, I need that extra boost." But really, Jabez wasn't seeking an earthly blessing. He wasn't seeking extra. He was seeking God's blessing. And God's blessing is, he wasn't saying, "God, give me stuff," but rather he was saying, "God, give me exactly what you deem to be best in my life right now." He was simply saying, "God, I want you to provide what I need, not what I want. I want you to give me everything that I need to accomplish what I have set out to do in your name." And that's what Jabez is saying. He's not saying, "God, give me that extra boost of encouragement. God, give me that extra something to really make my day special." He's saying, "God, I want you to bless me." This idea of bless is, "God, provide for me what you deem best, not what I deem best." So when we see Jabez saying, "Bless me," he's really asking for God's provision. Next, he says, "Enlarge my border." And here's something I want to point out, is he was seeking God's control in his life. Now, often we can read this as Jabez seeking physical prosperity or asking for a greater land. And yes, the context of this, if Jabez lived when scholars suggest that he lived and he was entering an area that was occupied by Canaanites, this is very true, that he clearly was saying, "God, I need help. I need you to enlarge the borders. I need you to help us to accomplish what you have called us to accomplish in this area." But one thing more is certainly obviously within the context that would make sense. At the heart of the matter is something a lot less self-centered, a lot less self-motivated. He's not downright asking God, "God, give me more land." But what he's saying is, "God, give me a greater chance to represent you." And how we can put that into our modern day context is, "God, give me a greater influence for you." Enlarge the borders of my influence. Give me greater opportunity to reach those who you have called me to reach. So what Jabez is saying is, God, I'm asking for more opportunities to serve you. God, I want you to have control, and I want you to use me in a way that I can't even understand. Jabez, from what we see, if he was a scribe, if he was a close student of the law, he was not a military man. He was not an individual who his mindset was to seek and to conquer. He was saying, God, this is what you've called us to do. I need you to use me in a way that I can't even picture myself being used. Use me to have a greater influence for you. Use me to spread the borders of your kingdom. And that's exactly what he was pointing out, because Jabez saw the bigger picture. He wasn't just seeing the immediate. He was saying, God, give me a greater influence, because ultimately it's your glory that I'm seeking. Next, he says that your hand may be with me. And here he was seeking God's leadership in his life. Jabez recognized the power of God's hand both to lead and to protect, and he wanted this for his life. He wasn't asking God to simply protect him and to simply keep him safe from all harm, but he was saying, God, lead me. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. And again, so clearly this is what Jabez is saying. He's saying, God, you take the lead. You go first. You accomplish your will through me. And then last, he says, keep me from harm. And he says, keep me from harm that it may, so that it may not bring me pain. And here he was seeking the Lord's protection. And I think this is really interesting when we, again, think about what Jabez's name was. It meant to grieve or grief. And he's saying, God, protect me from pain. Protect me from grief. Protect me from sorrow. And what he's saying is, in the original Hebrew, he's literally saying that I may have no more sorrow. And there's really kind of an allusion to the meaning of his name in grief. And you know, we could spend a whole lot of time looking at this, but it's obvious that what Jabez was asking for was, God, protect me from myself. Protect me not only from myself, but from the outward harm that may befall me. But when we think of what his name implies, what he's asking God is, God, don't let me get in the way of what you're doing. And don't let others hinder me from what you've asked me to do. And when we look at this, I want you guys to understand, it's at never any point wrong to ask for God's protection. Some people have this idea that if we're asking God to protect us from all evil, then we'll never grow because we'll never experience trials. But it's okay to ask for God's protection, because when you're asking for God's protection, you are recognizing your own inability to stand against the oppressor and to stand against the enemy. You know, when we read the book of Psalms, David pleaded for God's protection over and over and over again. He called God my refuge, my rock, my shield. He needed the Lord's protection. When we go over to the New Testament, when we read in 2 Corinthians, when Paul says, I begged God 3 times to remove this thorn in my flesh, to protect me from all that is going against me, but God says, my grace is sufficient for you. You have my protection. And even then, when we look at the life of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before going to the cross on our behalf, Christ says to the Father, if it would be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, and this is the part that I need us to understand, is it's okay to ask for God's protection. It's okay to say, God, if you can shield me from either myself or from those around me who would seek to hinder my testimony or seek to hinder my walk with you, God, please protect me. But we need to remember the words of Christ, not my will, but yours be done. And that's the focus. The focus is, God, please protect me, but if it is your will that I should struggle, if it is your will that I should fall into trials or temptations, God, give me the strength I need for those times. And I think that's so interesting. Dr. Ray Pritchard once said, and he said this to a friend of ours who was struggling with cancer not too long ago. He said, remember, there's no extra charge to pray for a miracle. So regardless of what we're going through, it is never too much to ask God to protect us. It is never too much to say, God, help me through this. God, protect me. Keep me from harm. But again, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So I think it's so interesting to think of this idea. There's no extra charge to pray for a miracle. And this is where we kind of lead into this last point that I want to make. And what does all of this mean when we look at it for us? If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I'll have it on the screen here. And the author of Hebrews says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need." And I think that's so cool, because when we think of what Jabez has just prayed, and then we come back and we think about what it means for us. Jabez prayed for God's provision. He prayed for God's control, God's leadership, and for God's protection. And I think it's so cool to think that we can come before the throne of God with confidence. And that is what the author of Hebrews tells us, is that we can come before this throne whenever we need to. It doesn't say, let us come before to find help when it suits God. Not when you find help, maybe in a little bit. You don't need it right now. What he's saying, when we need help, in our time of need, we can find that grace and we can find that help at the throne of grace. Because that's what God wants for us. He wants to help. He wants to come in. And sometimes his grace is going to look a little different than we think it should. Sometimes it means struggling. Sometimes it means going through a difficult time. But ultimately, we find that grace that God has for us. Josh, I'll ask you to head over to that next slide. Thanks. So we see that we can come before the throne of God with confidence, and then knowing that he loves us and has grace for each one of us in our time of need. When we look at the prayer of Jabez, there's really a lot to be learned, concerning our own prayer life. You know, each day we should seek God in humility, just like Jabez does. It says he cried out to the God of Israel. Not only should we seek God in humility, we should recognize his power and authority, and we should seek God's best for our lives, not simply the best in life. We need to understand when we are seeking God and when we are seeking his blessing, we need to understand that the blessing that we should seek is for him to do what is best for us, not to simply give us an emotional boost. We should seek to be used by God, having a willing heart, just as Jabez says that he wants God's leadership, he wants God's control. God, enlarge our borders. Give us a greater opportunity to serve you. Give us a greater opportunity to do what it is that you've called us to do. And then we should ask to be led by his divine hand. We should ask for his leadership in our lives, regardless of what situations we are going into. And as we grow closer to him each day, this should be our goal. I want you guys to remember, it's no extra charge to pray for miracles. There's no extra thing that you have to do to ask God for his hand in your life. You simply ask. Ask and it will be given unto you. What God gives us is always what he deems best. It may not look like what we think it should look like, but it's always what he has for us. And ultimately, we should always seek God's will above all. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of where he has placed us, his will should be done, however that looks. Jabez had an amazing relationship with God. Jabez sought God. He honored God. And Jabez was ultimately praying for God's will to be done in his life. He said, God, I want you to have control. I want you to be in charge. I want you to use me to do things that I didn't know was possible to do, but you knew. God, I want you to be in control, and I want your will to be done. And God answered him, and God honored him. And I think that's such an amazing passage when we look at it. So this week, like Jabez, I want us to try to see the big picture. I want us to pray that God will use us this week in a new and exciting way, and that his will be done regardless of what we think should be done. And I think that would be an amazing focus for this week as we go our